Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Let's pray. Father, we just lift up this morning to you and we just pray again you guide our hearts and our thoughts. Lead us again into the arms of your Son. Help us again to realize and acknowledge and to walk in the truth of the season. Let it truly be a light unto our path. Lord, we pray your blessing upon this time as we get into your word. Once again, we pray your word would get into us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was a man, and he took his family during this time up into the mountains to a cabin that he rented. Leaving after work, it's late, very late. He didn't reach the cabin until 2 o'clock that morning. Having 2 teenage kids, it's not a big deal because they can just go to bed themselves as each found a room. Him and his wife settled into the master's suite. Tired, not really wanting to do anything, they both just basically just jump in bed. She quickly falls asleep. He, not so much. See, he left on vacation after losing a client that was a great percentage of the economy of the company that he worked for. Knowing that, he didn't want to leave. He wanted to stay, but his CEO told him, no, it's probably best that you do go on vacation so we can think and work this out. Now, staring at the ceiling, he's wondering, do I even have a job to go to? And as he keeps going over it in his head, he's thinking, there's no way I have a job. They're going to let me go. What will I do? All I've known has been with this company since my youth. Just then he heard a noise outside the room. So he got up to investigate as he opened the door. Not familiar with the cabin yet, he's fumbling over trying to find light switches and he can't find them. As he's fumbling over things, he knocks over something and quickly catches it. And as he grabs it, he takes a couple more steps and then he looks up and he finds himself staring right at the intruder. Fear gripping him, not knowing what to do, but also that his throat was now constricted that he couldn't speak. He didn't know what to do, so it seemed like hours that they stared at each other. But then he hears a car from the distance, and just a little flicker of light enters into the window, and he realizes that he's staring at himself through the reflection of a mirror. Darkness does that. Takes away a lot of things from us. Darkness in Scripture, if you will, is a picture of misery. In Psalm 107:10, it says, those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death were bound in affliction and irons. It's despair. In Psalm 143:3, it says, for the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have long been dead. It is the playground of wickedness. Job 34:22 says, there is no darkness or shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. It's a place of being lost and ignorant. In Proverbs 4:19, it says, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. It's also a very real picture of death. In Job chapter 10, verses 21 through 22, Job says, before I go, the place from which I shall return, to the land of darkness, the shadow of death. The land is dark as darkness itself, as the shadow of death without any order, where even the light is like darkness. Solomon in Ecclesiastes speaks for all humanity. In chapter 5, he says this, "As man came from his mother's womb, naked shall he return. To go as he came, and he shall take nothing from his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a severe evil. Just exactly as he came, so shall he go. And what profit has he who has labored for the wind? All his days he also eats in darkness, and he has much sorrow and sickness and anger." In fact, one of the plagues that God issued against Egypt was darkness. And this is how it's expressed. The Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward heaven. Then there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness in which may even be felt." Have you ever found yourself in that place? A place of confusion, disoriented, not knowing which way to go, no hope, the feeling of despair, fear? If you're honest, then we all can relate to that. It's only the human condition. It's not knowing which way to turn, which way to go. And if you will, just as Solomon said, this is the plight of all humanity, to live and dwell in darkness. There's a song that I really do enjoy, but really it's not a Christian song. It's a song from my youth. Because it's a song really that describes someone that's grasping for something. And in that, one of the verses is, "What is life beneath the sun? But you, the reason, the desire to believe in something more is the reason I continue so near for so long, so close, yet so far away. I brought you to this darkness for a reason. Because God brought humanity to the acknowledgement of this. Balaam was sent to curse Israel, but he couldn't. He said, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of the tumult." A light in the darkness will shine. In fact, if you will, that's what the wise men were looking at and seeking after. In Matthew chapter 2, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" He's the reason for the season. And if you will, it's the light of the world. In fact, he declares himself as such. That everyone in this room, regardless of where you are, if you have the courage, then I will show you to the light. But it's up to each of us to embrace that light and to continue in that light, to walk in that light. Our passage for today, one's very familiar, and we'll go over it very quickly. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Look at verse 5. "There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of his priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man. My wife is well and advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. Stop. See, Zacharias, if you will, was going through the motions. Life was over in his mind, in the sense that he was just cruising downhill, coasting, if you will. Understanding and knowing something that, hey, oh well, it's for other people. The promises of God, the truth of his being, his promises. But I hope you and I will take this from this passage, that regardless of how old you are, God's promises are sure. And prayer does matter. Oh, let us not let our age or lack of knowledge or anything on our part hinder from what God wants to do in your life. Now, let's continue on. If you will, drop down now to, let's go to verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard, now the Lord had shown a great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, "No, it shall be called John." But they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name." So they made signs to his father what he would say, call him. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." So they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke praising God. Then fear came on all those who dwelt around them. And all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, "What kind of child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. Understand something, that John means something. It's a name that actually is something for all of us to hold on to grasp. Not that you all just start calling your son John or something, but it really means Jehovah has shown grace. In the darkness, where there was no hope, God declares, "I will show grace." Zacharias learned this firsthand. Look at verse 67. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And he has raised up a horn, power, strength, glory, honor of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our fathers, to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring, or if you will, the sun rises from on high, has visited us. To do what? To give us light to those who sit in darkness, and the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. Why did Christ come? Simply put, to die for your sins. So much more. To enlighten us. Give us hope. Give us peace. Teach us truth. In Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah writes, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." A few verses down, he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of To rule, to reign. Where? On this earth. But he's not. No, because there's another place that he desires to reign and rule. It's our hearts. Our hearts. Be a dictator? Show grace, love, peace. See, he's wonderful. He's a counselor. He's God. Everlasting Father. To the widow, to the orphan, to the hurting, to the lonely. Prince of Peace. Those who are in turmoil. Find your life in turmoil? The Prince of Peace wants to reign. Bringing peace. In John's Gospel, you don't have to turn it if you don't want to. It's John 1. The thought, John continues it. He says, "There was a man sent from God, John, whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, Jesus. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world." You ever find yourself waking up in the middle of the night? I have many a times. Kind of a habit of mine, I guess. Now it's not so bad because we did something smart. We put night lights out. Maybe because we're getting older, we realize, you know, it's kind of stupid. We're stumbling around in the dark. Before, maybe I think we kept it dark to keep the kids asleep. Now we have light. So, and plus we don't have those little things, those little Legos. You ever step on a Lego in the middle of the night? Now see, for me, if I wake up, I'm awake. So for me to step on the Lego, that which happened many a times, it means now I'm up. Or to stub my toe, which I've done so many times in the middle of the night. The pain that just shoots up and through you. And now I'm awake. In the pain that I feel. Nights can be very long. Very miserable. I have learned to embrace it. Why? Because I never know how I'm going to sleep. Last night, if you're asking, I slept very well. Thank you for asking. Ah, but the night before, I was up at 3:30. Did I fight it? No, I laid in bed for 30 minutes and said, okay, I'm awake. And then I do the thing that I love to do more than anything. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm giving myself away, aren't I? I like coffee in the morning. I just enjoy it. It's something I look forward to. I thought, well, I might as well make some coffee. And I enjoyed the morning. What was the different perspective? embracing something that I acknowledge. God woke me up. I'm awake. I'm ready, Lord. Versus before, I'd be going, oh, I can't believe I didn't sleep. Oh, no. I got to work. I got to do this. I got to do that. Now it's just understanding that He is the Lord of the light and He's the Lord of the dark. He is the Lord of the night as well as the Lord of the day. We could just embrace that in everything we do. Now I'm going to go over a few things and just understand that Jesus is the light, the way, the truth, and the life. But also that I have come, as He says, to give light unto the world, that whoever believes in me shall not abide in darkness, not to live and dwell in darkness. And again, we understand that to not only be spiritual darkness, but confusion, fear, and doubt. But I'm just going to go over some things quickly here about light. Light, if you will, is revealing, isn't it? And what does it reveal? It reveals a simple truth a lot of us don't want to talk about. See, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. Now, there's two ways to look at that, and for a lot of us, we look at it the negative way. And the negative way is that He sees every little sin you do, every little thing. There's nothing hidden from His sight. It's all naked and open before Him. You can't hide it at all. Now, if you continue thinking of that, oh, well, this is a bad thing because there's nothing I do, there's nothing good in me, blah, 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 then you've missed it. Now, if you grab on to the essential truth of it, is that God is saying, I see everything, but I still love you. You can't hide from Him. And when you embrace that, then your outlook changes. I can't hide from Him. There's nothing I can do in the dark that He doesn't see. Everything is at night like daylight to Him. And He loves me. And He rejoices in fellowship with me, which we'll talk about in a few. It's to embrace that. Lord, You know. You see. It's not to embrace the sin, don't get me wrong, but it's to acknowledge your Savior sees it all. And it's those little nickety sins that we do that He died for. Every one of them. Christmas is a wonderful time because, again, it reminds us of this wonderful God who, even though He knows all about what's in man, He came to the dark world to be the light of the world, to give us hope. To give us hope. In Psalm 139, David wrote, if I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide me from you, but the night shines as the day, and darkness and light are both alike to you. No matter how dark it seems to me, there's nothing too hard for you to see through. Nothing that you can't lift me up out of my darkness into your light. You are the reason that I have hope. Because of light and the truth and the clarity of who you are. Because see, that's what light does do. It gives vision of clarity. And we understand something. We understand that the God of this age has blinded those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone into our hearts to give us light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. His face. How do you describe His face? Do you ever look at it? Do you ever stare at it? Do you ever try to? Is it a face of anger? Is it a face of disappointment? Is it a face of disgust? Or is it a face of love? Grace, mercy, hope. I see you, yet I love you. Which again goes back to what we were talking about before. He sees us. Do you ever have that feeling? of not being seen, of being ignored, of people thinking less of you, or even worse, that you think too highly of their thoughts towards you. Most of them are untrue. People's attitudes and thoughts towards others can actually condition that person into that. You know that? So isn't it more wonderful then to look and gaze at the face of Jesus and the light in His eyes? And He says, I see you as something so much more. So much. And if that's the case, then were our eyes be good naturally too, but to Him rather than to what others think or say. See, it does give us hope. But it gives us clarity. It gives us direction. And Psalm 119, 105, you know, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But Psalm 43:3 gives it a little clearer even. Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and your tabernacle. Do you know what the law really was for? It was just direction. Where? Right into His presence. What was the problem? Nobody could keep the law. What did that mean? Nobody could enter truly into His presence. What are we to do? He did it. He said, you can't come to me, so I'm coming to you. Christmas. To what? Again, to bring us into fellowship with Him. To enter into His presence. To have direction right into His presence so we can have fellowship. Psalm 89:15. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. See, again, the face is beaming on you. Oh, it's Christmas, we say. But really what it does and it should do for all of us is to remind us of the light that has now shined into the darkness. And first of all, the darkness being my own being, my own heart. It shines bright. Oh, the joy that's there. Oh, the peace. Why? Because He declared it. Not because I have to work at it. He's done it. See, there's those that are Christmas-oriented, and there's those that are Easter, but I have to tell you, I love them because they both are bookends, and they have to be there. There is no Easter without Christmas. There's no Christmas without Easter. God came in human flesh, tabernacled with us, just like that passage said. See, it's the light is to shine to the law and everything else was to go to the tabernacle, to go into fellowship with Him. They couldn't go into the tabernacle, so the tabernacle came to us. Isn't that good news? Doesn't it bring a smile to your face? It's the fellowship that He desires. As Psalm 56:13 says, you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling? That I may walk before God in the light of the living. It's all about being in fellowship with Him. And it's to continue in that fellowship. John, 1 John chapter 1. A little lengthy, but hold on. No, actually, chapter 1 is not that long, so if you know 1 John, but John says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message that which we have heard from which He declared to you, that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's all about being with Him. that sink into your head? He didn't come just to save you. He didn't come to correct a mistake. He didn't come just to bring you to heaven. Remember David and his son Absalom? Absalom was, he killed one of his sons and he ran, he jetted from David's face, and for years he was apart from him. I think it was 3 years. And Joab brings him back, talks to David, says, let me bring him back. Okay, I'll bring him back. So he brings his son Absalom back. But he won't see him. And then finally, because of some manipulation, he sees him. That's the way a lot of us feel about God. We feel like, okay, he's going to bring us to heaven, but he's not going to see us. What would he see you for? He knows everything about you, you little sinner, you. No, see, the reason why he saved you is because he wants to fellowship with you. Isn't that crazy? He wants to dump his love on you. He wants to express his grace upon you. He wants you to enter into his peace and dwell there. He wants you to take it as light unto your soul and light unto your path, that everything you do and say and live on this earth, though he knows everything, he desires to have fellowship with you. He wants to be there with you, walk with you. That's why he dwells in us. Stop pushing him away. Stop thinking to yourself, oh, I love Christmas, but not what it really means. Because, again, understand, Christmas is about God tabernacling man. And then dwelling in man. Be closer than a brother. Closer than a friend. To be wonderful counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. And fellowship on our side really just sees it as he sees it. Anything that would keep us from that sweet fellowship is to be rejected. As we come now to the table itself, this is a time that we can actually think about these things. In the upper room, in chapter 14, yes, chapter 14, part of the upper room, Jesus said to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, no matter where you find yourself this morning, it's time to again to the fellowship. It's time to embrace everything that he stands for and everything that he did. It's for us, if we're failing at something, is to confess that sin. Acknowledge that he's paid the price completely. But more than just confessing, is that desire to repent. To call it for what it is. Sin is sin. It's not pretty. You can paint it, you can color it, you can shove it somewhere, and you can pretend it's not there. But the truth of the matter is, it's dirty, it's filthy, and it separates. But see, that's the beauty of the communion table, because again, we acknowledge what he's done for us. We accept the fact that we're not perfect yet, but we also acknowledge that one day we'll be in fellowship with him at his house. as forever. Place that He's prepared for you. Is that good to know? I've been to weddings, and sometimes there's been a few times we've been to weddings, and you know how they put your little name and where you're supposed to sit and everything? It's kind of a bummer when you go there and you don't see your name. They're like, oh, we were invited, weren't we? Well, yeah, we got the invitation, the reservation, everything, yeah. Everything. Oh, and you send it back? Yeah, I send it back. And then, actually, I shouldn't, well, my wife's not here, so I can't get in trouble, can I? You didn't know who it was until I just said it. Oh, well, I just blew it. Point is that you're sitting there and you go, okay, where do we sit? And usually, my wife is the one that we went with. I went with her because it's somebody she knows. So then she goes talk to somebody and they put us in a table. It's usually in the kitchen, but hey, we're in the facility in the area. No, I'm kidding, of course. But it's kind of a bummer is when you don't have a place to sit, right? Get it through our thick heads, your name is already there. You already have reservations. You have a seat at the table. Did I mention it's Christmas season? Let's try to remind ourselves this joy that we have usually during this time of year really is year-round. Burst some of your bubbles that we really don't know the day Jesus was born. As one commentator says, he goes, as good as any other day. We have 365 to choose from. But you know why I like it during this time? Especially moving out here. Cold and dark. Something about this month warms a person's heart. I'm thankful for God for that. So as we come to the communion table, really for all of us, it's an individual thing. It's another, a real confession of our faith. But it's also the realization that our God loves us, and are we playing at being a Christian rather than living as a Christian? Do we accept ourselves for who we are and what He sees us for? But also with the acknowledgement that He's not done with us? That in His presence and His fellowship that there's always hope. There is always a path He'll guide us on. That there's no place for fear. For the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? That there's a place for contentment. That there's a place at His table, fellowship. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for this morning. We pray, Lord, again, that You would just search us now. Are there sins that we need to confess? That we need to repent from? Father, my prayer for each of us is if there's that little cuddly sin that we hold on to, that we see it for what it really is. It leads to darkness. It leads us away from the tabernacle of fellowship with You. To also acknowledge that that sin is cleansed in confession. That the fellowship door is now once again open to us. That the light of Your countenance, Lord, You desire to shine upon each of us. My prayer again for this morning for each of us, Lord, that we would dwell in the countenance of Your presence. Fellowship through our Lord and Savior, who is wonderful, who wants to counsel us, who's mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. Lord, we lift the rest this morning up to you in this time of reflection, this time of salvation, this time of promise. It's in Jesus' name we pray.